welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast, all about the things it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument, because we kind of take that as a given, hopefully, fingers crossed, and there's always something to learn. So first of all, I'd like to start out by just saying thank you to everyone that is on Patreon, that has been supporting this podcast. Honestly, you have no idea how much it means to me that this can mean so much to you that you're willing to part ways with your hard-earned money. I really appreciate it more than you'll ever know, and I hope that you continue to keep getting at least entertained by my random ramblings. But anyway, today I would like to talk about a subject that has been inspired by the wonderful Lindsay Roberts. Now, Lindsay I met at the Drummer's Odyssey Camp in Bristol back in, when was it, October? November? I can't remember. Back end of last year, anyway. She is a wonderful human. She teaches psychology, so obviously I adore her. I very much look up to her. And she is a drummer, which is awesome. So anyway, she wanted to ask me a particular question to cover on the podcast, so I thought, why not? Let's talk about that. Let's ramble about that for a bit. So she wanted to ask about how to develop complexity in playing generally. Now, I have to say, when she asked me this, I think it was over email, my first reaction was that I laughed because to me, I am not a complex drummer, even slightly. So the fact that someone is asking me that, I just found really, really amusing. But then I thought about it and I was like, oh, I could see why someone would think that I was a complex drummer. That's interesting to me because personally, I've always identified just as like, I always use the word just a song drummer, a very simple drummer. I play for the song and that's it. And therefore, I don't play complex things because to me, in my head, if I get too complex, it takes away from the music, it takes away from the singer, the lyrics, which are my paramount, like, that is all I ever focus on whenever I'm working with an artist. It's like, your lyrics and your singing are the number one thing for me because they're what most people are going to connect with best. It's what I connect with best, stories I love. Anyway, I'm kind of going on a tangent. I know, unlike me, right? But yeah, it really amused me anyway that she was like, yeah, how do you develop complexity in your playing? So anyway, I thought about this because again, like I said, I don't see myself as a complex player, but I did sort of think about, you know, the stuff that I post on Instagram. And there's a variety of stuff that I sort of post on Instagram, obviously. There's a lot of talking videos, funnily enough, a lot of rambling on, whether it's talking about this podcast, whether it's talking about other random subjects or whatever. I like to chat. I don't know whether you've noticed. The other stuff that I post is stuff for Drum Stem Club. So that's my free drum multi-track club, basically, where you can download. I mean, there's over 100 different drum tracks in different styles and tempos and la-di-da-di-da. If you know anything about me, I talk about it enough, so I won't talk much more about it. So I post about that. It's kind of for other musicians, producers, songwriters, singers, whatever, to download and use in their music. But then there is this other thing that I have started posting as of about a year ago, I suppose, which is, and again, I've spoken about this before, so apologies, I will be repeating myself a little bit, and that is these free play sessions that I do, so where I spend 30 minutes a day just playing with nothing to inform what I'm going to play. There's no click track, there's no music, there's nothing. It's just me, my drums, and my brain. And I just see what comes out. And sometimes interesting things come out. And the reason that I started doing this was with a view to normalize basically soloing, improvisation, because it's something that really scared me for a long time and something that I actively avoided, like actively ran away from whenever I could. In fact, it's really funny. I was talking to, I met her with a friend of mine, Kevin Davey White, if you're listening, hey, Kevin. And we hadn't seen each other for, what did we work it out? like 10 years we hadn't seen each other, and we used to play together in a band called the JFKs. Wicked band. He's such a great songwriter, my goodness. Dusty Man, still one of my favourite songs. No one will know what I'm talking about, but it's fine. Anyway, we were sat and we were catching up, and he's one of these wonderful humans in this world, like just so positive and worked so hard and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, sorry, again, tangents. And I was telling him about this 30 minutes a day that I was doing of like, I said, yeah, I've been doing it for about a year and a half now. I just kind of like, it's because I hate drum solo so much. And he went, I remember. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I have such a vivid memory of when we were rehearsing, there was a part in the set where we were like, oh yeah, like you should do a drum solo. And he said, and I remember your reaction was just like, oh no, like really kind of uncomfortable. You didn't want to do it. Like we had to essentially not force you to do it, but force you to do it. And he goes, and it was amazing. And you know what you played was amazing. Blah, 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 blah. And I went, Kevin, do you want to know the secret though? The secret is that when you would have asked me that, first of all, freaked out. Obviously you saw that. But whatever I played, because I don't remember this at all. I mean, I have a bad memory anyway, but I have no recollection of this conversation or this, or ever having a drum solo in that band ever. But I said the reality would have been that I would have gone home and practiced a solo, if you like. What is this? I am so sorry. I have no idea what happened there. A thumbs down appeared on the screen and then the whole thing just froze. I don't know whether, I mean, I didn't do a thumbs down. I'm so confused. My camera is freaking me out and it's done it a couple of times recently and I have no idea why. Anyway, what I was saying was, what I had said to Kevin was, look, what you don't get is that I will have gone home, I will have obsessively, like no matter how long this solo was, let's say it was 8 bars long, I would have obsessively worked out what I was going to play in these 8 bars. And it was never going to be a solo that was off the cuff, that was kind of just improvised, that, you know, none of the things what a solo should be, which is kind of in the moment, as it were. And yeah, it was just really interesting to me that he remembered that about me, and that, I don't know, it was just interesting to me. And what I realized was that I guess now, looking back, sorry, I've semi lost my train of thought because of this silly camera thing. But yeah, what I thought was, it is interesting now, as I look at, for instance, my Instagram profile and some of those posts, if you were just to look at me on the surface, you would go, yeah, complex drummer. Whereas I am like, no. I watch complex drummers. I am not that. I am what I am. But again, it was so interesting to me that from the outside, I came across to this fairly new to me person, and in a way that she thought that I was a complex drummer, to the point that she's asking me how to develop complex playing. Anyway, me being me, because again, I am what I am, I thought, let me actually analyse why this is. By the way, this is why me and Lindsay get on so well, because she's a psychologist and because she teaches psychology. Obviously, there's a lot of analysis that happens in that world, and it makes me happy because I like to understand why. I like to understand why I do things, why I think certain ways. Admittedly, sometimes I can go a bit too deep with it, and I've done that recently. Oh, by the way, apologies for not putting out an episode last week. Honestly, I was in a deep dark hole last week. I have not been in that place for so long, and it really just dragged on. I've got an injury with my shoulder currently, which means that I can't go boxing. Turns out, boxing has been stabilizing me for the last 4 months very successfully from other things that are happening in my life. And that really came to the forefront this week, or last week, I should say, when I was just like, oh my goodness, I can't function. So that's fun. Anyway, I'm feeling a lot better this week. which is great, hence why I'm back. But apologies again for missing out. These things happen. I'm human. What can I say? So, going back to complexity, I thought back to this idea of complexity. I've never thought of myself as a complex drummer. I've kind of ended up in a place where I guess I am a little bit, not massively, not by my standards, because I look ahead to people that are more complex players. Not that I'm aiming towards that. It's never been a goal of mine. It's just a byproduct, if that makes sense. But what I realized was that it isn't about being complex to me. It's just that my level of normalization of what my playing is has become higher than what it was, which, as someone who maybe just hasn't been playing as long or doesn't have as much experience, it may seem complex, but actually it's just time. It's just time and active normalization. Is that a thing? Is that something that I've just come up with because I'm kind of into it? Active normalization. Yep, I like that. I might have to start using that. If I can remember. Remember, active normalization. Please remind me to remind myself, please. Thank you very much. So anyway, I thought back to when I first started playing the drums. And I'm sure if you play an instrument, if you're listening to this, I appreciate there are people that listen to this podcast that don't actually play instruments. But okay, whatever you do that you kind of do to some sort of competency, right? If you think back to when you first started doing that, and trying to work out, you know, what this thing is, that was complex. I remember the feeling of sitting down at the drums and learning the very basic kind of like counting subdivisions. At the time, obviously, I didn't even know what a subdivision was, stickings, all of that. And I remember the physical kind of disparity, incongruence, whatever, between my brain, my ears, and my limbs, and how uncomfortable that was, and how I felt so discombobulated, and how it was so like I could feel the gears literally grinding as I was trying to make sense of what I was trying to do that I was being told to do, if that makes sense. And therefore, it was incredibly complex. And I'll be completely honest, I kind of miss that feeling. In fairness, I still get it sometimes, definitely. There's some things I'm like, oh God! In fact, it happened last week on a live. Oh my God, it was awful. It was so awful. It was great. It was wonderful. I've just never had it happen in front of an audience before. It's very confronting. I didn't feel good about it, but I did feel good about it because I was like, wow. Yes, there's something that I really need to work on. It was basically just playing open-handed and sorting out my right-hand ghost notes, because my left-hand ghost notes are pretty legit. Like, I'm happy with where they're at. Oh, they can always be better, obviously. But swap me around, my goodness. I'm like, oh! It was unexpected. I didn't realise how uncomfortable it would feel. And yeah, it was awful. I really fell out of my tree. but anyway, that kind of feeling of working it out and how complex it feels and how difficult it feels and how slowly those gears turn as you work it out, like literally note for note and movement by movement and just like, ah! But eventually, the more that you do it, the more natural it becomes. And obviously the stuff that I learned when I very first started is not a thing, and it's just like, it's part of my DNA. I just do it, it's part of me now. And I think that that's kind of the key to developing complexity, is actually to just get it to a point where it's no longer complex. And actually, Lindsay, if you're listening, you probably have more complexity in your playing than you realize. It's just that you think it's normal now, if that makes sense. But if there's someone that is a little earlier in their journey and they look to you at how you play, they might go, my goodness, she's so complex, the way that she plays, that's so awesome. So I think rather than working on developing complexity, it's more about just, I don't know, for me, the thing that made a difference was leaving space for exploration and actually just being curious about my playing, because historically, and it's so funny, I'm only thinking about this now actually, historically I would only play things that I was told to play. And what I mean by that is that, say I would come into a drum lesson with, say, Mike Dolbear, my drum teacher. He will never get rid of me, even though I haven't had a lesson in years. He will forever be my drum teacher. And, you know, I would say, you know, I want to work on this, or he would say, let's work on this. And then he would put an exercise in front of me, or whatever it would be, right? And I would play that exercise, and I would do what was on the page, and I would do what I was told, right? Which is fine, that's great. There's a lot of value in that. However, I always remember Mike saying this to me. And I'm sorry, bear in mind, I've been having lessons with Mike since I was 15, I think. I'm only realizing this now, so it's 21 years later. So I apologize, Mike. I was listening. I wasn't implementing until the last year and a half. He always said to me, he said, look, however long your practice session is, always give yourself a bit of time to just play whatever. And I ignored that advice because it scared the bejesus out of me, if I'm honest. The thought of just playing for playing's sake, I didn't understand why. I didn't get it. I was like, why? There's no value in that. I don't understand. Whereas actually, there is massive value in just exploring your instrument and just seeing what happens and just giving yourself the space to, you know, you don't, it's not about playing what everyone else tells you to play, and whether that's through a drum exercise in a lesson, or whether that's, you know, playing a song for someone, recording a song, playing on stage, you know, rehearsing a set for a tour or whatever it is, or a gig, that's all fine. And that's great, and that's a really, really great discipline to have. It's the reason I have a career. I know how to do that very well. I know how to execute that sort of stuff. However, what I did not allow myself is just to play for myself. I'm realizing how sad this is. My gosh, I feel sad about this. I feel sad that I never gave myself the gift of playing the drums for myself. This is weird. Okay, so sorry, this is going down a road that I didn't anticipate. So I'm going to talk to you about my therapy. I'm sorry, this might be too much information. I don't care, because it's important to me that I'm open, and it's important to me that this could resonate with someone else. I've been on and off in therapy, mainly CBT, since I was 20 years old, right? But in the last 10 months, I've been doing talking therapy, which is more, I think it's more humanistic. I think that's technically the term. I'm literally learning about it in my degree at the moment, which is weird as well. It's very difficult. Anyway, so one of the biggest things that I learned very early on in this latest lot of therapy, which my lady is amazing. I love her. She has taught me so much. She has shown me so much. I've grown so much. But one of the first things that became very apparent to me about myself is that I am the person historically, and I'm working on it, that would put everyone else's needs before my own, to the point that my needs weren't even a consideration. I didn't even know what my needs were, because I didn't know, like, this is going to sound probably a bit weird, I didn't know that I was allowed to have needs, and I didn't know that they were important, and I didn't know that it was okay to look after myself in that way. She put it as putting yourself on the ledger. So thinking about a ledger, you know, everyone else's needs were first, and then if there's room on the page, maybe I would be there, but often, no, I wouldn't even, like, that's what I realised. I wasn't even on the ledger. So we worked on first, right, put yourself on the ledger first, and then it's about, you know, your needs are important. So anyway, that's kind of a massive thing that I realised about myself. And I'm only just realising now, in this moment, that it's been the same with my drumming. My drumming has always been, maybe not when I very first started, but very, very quickly, has been about meeting someone else's needs musically. Whether that's, like I say, a gig, and I'm talking about not even just playing, like rehearsals. I would work myself into the ground. I would not sleep. I would be living off of energy drinks and chocolate and, you know, neglecting my own well-being. I had no social life. Exercising wasn't really a thing. I didn't prioritize that. Now, I'm not saying this to be like, woe is me, nothing like that, because it's afforded me the career that I have currently that I'm very grateful for. There's been a lot of upside to that. But as a general human experience, I would definitely recommend putting yourself on the ledger. If you're putting everyone else before you, I'd really suggest just questioning that. And again, I am no therapist, not even slightly. I do not know much. Maybe go talk to a professional about that. It's really quite interesting. And I can't believe that I'm only just realizing that playing-wise, I've never put myself on the ledger until a year and a half ago, which again has kind of become, it's kind of been happenstance, but it's really changed my, not just my playing, but my view about myself as a player. I used to put so many different sort of boundaries on who I was as a player, and therefore what I could say yes to, what I was capable of, all of that sort of stuff, all these restrictions, which I don't think is great. I think you can work within your restrictions and they can be empowering, but actually just this idea of putting yourself on the ledger, giving yourself the space and the time to explore the parts of your playing that you want to develop, whether that is complexity. In the case of Lindsay Roberts, I'd say give yourself the space to explore that and to normalize it. Actively normalize it. Ah! Active normalization. I really like that idea. Or whether it's kind of, like what it was for me, just kind of like developing my groove. And you know, for me, when I first started recording myself and listening back, it was awful. I thought I was locking in with records that I was playing to. I was not. It was awful. I would listen and it would just be like, this is not right. I don't know why. But all I knew is that I just needed to do more of it to normalize it. So again, I think this idea of sort of complexity, basically I'm trying to say complexity is kind of subjective, I think, because what one would sort of see me as complex playing, I would just go, oh no, I just do that. I don't even really know what I'm doing. It's just in me. It's in my bones. In the same way that I instinctively just know how to, if you put me in a room with a bunch of musicians, I instinctively, provided it's not some mad jazz fusion funk thing, which is out of my wheelhouse, if we sit down and we play a pop song, a rock song, whatever, I instinctively know what to do. And that's not just through hearing, it's through watching other musicians. I understand about these micro kind of like movements that will happen, or I understand about like notes and kind of like progressions of chords and where they go and where we're going as a song instinctively. I couldn't explain to you what that is because I just, and again, it's just because I've done so much of it. So I understand. I can't consciously tell you what these things are, but I do know that I know it. It's in my bones. So I think it's about normalizing this idea of complexity for yourself. And then, of course, inevitably, the new level of complexity will arise. And, you know, maybe if you want to get to that, then you get to that and you normalize that and then you just keep going. I think it's about normalization. It's basically about the thing that makes you go, wow, that's amazing. You just want to start, you want to get to a point where you're like, oh yeah, it's just what I do, which sounds so unromantic and so like, I don't know, it's a bit of a, I find it a bit of a, what's the word? I don't even know what the word is. It's not an oxymoron, but, you know, you romanticize these goals or these, you know, the type of player that you want to be. But then the reality is that you need to just get it to a point where it's so, not boring, but so mundane and run-of-the-mill to you that it will seem complex and amazing, but as you're doing it, you're just like, it's just what I do because I've done so much of it. Like, all of the romanticism has disappeared. At least that's how it is for me. Maybe it's not how it is for you. I hope it isn't. And I'm sorry if that sounds really like, not dull, but like, yeah, it's my experience, basically. That is my experience, which I find quite funny, to be honest. But, you know, if you want to liken it to other things, it's like, in terms of things feeling complex and then they're not anymore. If you think about, like, growing up, you know, when I first moved out of home, I was 20. It was so exciting, but my gosh, it was overwhelming. It was complex. It was, you know, how do I, you know, live? Like, you know, what do I need to be, you know, paying for bills or going, even just doing a weekly shop, you know, navigating living with other people who may have been slightly difficult sometimes. You know, all these things felt like a lot. But then you move through it and you grow, and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is just what I do now. I live away from home. Like, it, you know, you, and then you stop identifying like that. It's like, oh yeah, no, I live here with housemates. And then it's like, you just move on, and you know, it's a never ending thing. And the feelings, there's some stuff that I'm going through at the moment that is very complex for me. But, you know, I look at where I was 10 months ago, and I look at myself now and I'm like, wow, the things that I found really difficult at that time are now kind of normal. And I'm like, okay. And it's just part of everyday life. It's just interesting. I think it's interesting, this idea of complexity. I think what I'm trying to say is that it's all subjective, basically. And the more that you do it, the less complex it gets. And then you just move on to something else that is complex. And then it's just a never-ending cycle, basically, which is kind of beautiful. As long as it doesn't overwhelm you, which, in fact, that is a good way of describing last week to you. It became very complex. Everything, I was overwhelmed. All the things that I'm currently dealing with, like, came at me at once. They were right in front of my face, and it was all a bit too complex. And, like, recently I've been very good at compartmentalizing, and I think my boxing has really helped that, like, of just being able to have moments of being completely present, because I'll tell you something, being hit in the face keeps you very present, very present, which is great. And and I've been able to get out frustrations, and I think it's been a real help in, as I say, compartmentalizing things that are happening in my life right now. But this injury has just thrown me completely. I'm hoping to be back boxing tomorrow, fingers crossed, like, even just a little bit, but it is still painful. Don't tell my teacher. I hope he's not listening. I'm fine. It'll be fine. Just light. I'll do something light. But anyway, Lindsay, I hope that this random ramble has helped you and anyone else that is kind of thinking about that kind of side of complex, like creating more complex playing or more complexity in your life, whatever, or if you're dealing with something that is very complex. I think if you just keep doing more of it and normalize it, then it will become easier, to the point that you're like, oh yeah, at some point that was difficult. I think it's good to also retrospectively just look back at things that historically you found difficult, and now you're like, oh no, that's just something that I do. Just so to prove to yourself that you can do it. That's a big thing for me. I need evidence. Evidence that I am capable. And I do. Yeah, luckily again, that's something that I learned in CBT a long time ago. It's kind of like just challenging things, and I always say it's like creating a case, like I'm about to go into a courtroom, like, here is my case against myself, or for myself. It's always for myself, but it feels like I'm fighting against myself a lot of the time. But anyway, I hope that that's helped you in some way in developing your complexity. Or I know it's a little abstract, because obviously everyone's at different stages, everyone's playing different instruments or doing different things creatively. It's not just about music, it's about life. But I think the key for me is active normalization, not just because I now love that as a phrase, active normalization, but it's also about allowing yourself to explore what that complexity means to you. And again, thank you, Mike Dalbert, for telling me that when I was 15. And yes, I know I'm only listening to you now, but as I always say, you're like my third dad. And that is, I think that that's an apt relationship that we have. So I've got my dad, Charisse's dad is my second dad, and then there's Mike Dalbert. I've just realised that, again, the camera has frozen, so that's fun. And this time it's with a thumbs up, so that's cool. Well, hold on. Let's just do this again. Hold on. I've got to say, it's getting old fast, and I still don't know what's happening. It's so weird. It's so weird. I'm going to have to do a Google search after this, because that is not okay. Anyway, right, I'm gonna love you and leave you on that note. And yeah, so I hope this has helped in some way. If you did enjoy this episode, if you'd like to share it with anyone, please feel free. And yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, sorry about the freeze frames with all the thumbs up and stuff. It's because I'm handsy and I don't know why it's doing that, but anyway, if you're watching on YouTube, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe. If you are, listening on YouTube? If you're watching on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms that exist in this world, please feel free to leave a review so that other people can find this podcast so we can help more people. That would be awesome. Or just, do you know what it is? It's about not feeling alone. I just want more people to feel like they're not the only ones going through these thoughts and this experience of being a human and being a creative. Like, we're all here together. And then if you'd also like to be like the wonderful supporters on Patreon, you can support this podcast by going to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you want to just see any of the other random stuff that I do in this life, you can go to emilydrums.com, and there are many rabbit holes you can go down on that website. As much as I've tried to make it concise, let's face it, I mean, you know how I am. There is a bird outside that I cannot... Is that a kestrel? I think there's a kestrel outside my window. Huh. Okay, well, I'm going to go and investigate before he flies off. Oh, no, he's gone. Or she, I'm not sure. Or they. Right, I'm going to love you, I'm going to leave you. Hope you're having a great week, and I will be back next time with another subject. All right, lots of love to you, and I'll speak to you soon. All right, mwah! Bye. It's